Now, if you were here yesterday, you already know this dear brother. Come on over. Welcome, Dr. Mike. He's got a lot of pastoring under his belt as well, 35 years, and a lot of you are familiar with Randy Clark and how God has used him around the world with the Global Awakening. He was over their school of ministry there for 13 years, and so this man carries a lot, has a special anointing in the area where he's ministering today, and so many hearts have already been blessed here, and I'm so excited. I've shared with him previously, we certainly want to develop and deploy some trauma teams as a result, and he's going to work with us about how to do that to be able to provide this ministry in an ongoing way to people. So would you now, one more time, just join me in welcoming to this pulpit Dr. Mike Hutchins. It's a joy to have you. We love you.
Love you. Love you. Thank you, brother. Bless you. Good morning, church. Is everybody alive in the room? Everybody alive? Amen. It's a beautiful day in Alabama. I've had the privilege of coming to Alabama many times. I spent a number of years going every year to Selma, and I ended up a lot of times coming in July and August, and I made an unholy vow. I said, Lord, I'll be glad to come to Alabama as long as it's not in July or August. Y'all understand why, right? But I'm here on assignment from God for you. So thank you, Grace House, for hosting me. What an amazing privilege it's been to be here this weekend. How many of you, again, were at the seminar yesterday? Praise God. So everybody, all of you in the seminar, stand up real quick. So all of these people were trained yesterday how to pray for people who have trauma or PTSD. And you're going to see their ministries begin to expand because God is going to make them divine magnets. And if you need prayer for trauma today, I know there'll be a ministry team up here, but if one of these people are standing, I tell you, they have been not only trained, but they've been imparted with the same grace and gifting that I received to bring healing to trauma. And so I'm expecting some amazing testimonies to come out of this group. Now, all of you that are standing, how many of you slept better last night than you have before? Would you raise your hand? Look at that, all around the room. That's amazing. So have a seat, everybody. Because one of the things that we've discovered in ministering to people who carry trauma or have been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder is we've discovered that many of those people don't sleep very much. They sleep maybe 2 to 3 hours a night and have difficulty with that. But how many of you know that Proverbs 3:24 declares that because you walk in covenant with God, you shall no longer lie down in fear, but it's your Father's inheritance to you to give his children sweet sleep. So I'm telling you today, if you have a difficulty with sleep, the Lord is going to come. He's going to bring healing to your sleep center so that you begin to have sweet sleep every night in the name of Jesus uninterrupted. How many of you need that today? Anybody? Come on, a lot of you do, so that's going to happen. It is an honor to be here with you. It has been my joy to, after 35 years of pastoral ministry, to join my friend Dr. Randy Clark in directing many of his education programs at Global School of Supernatural Ministry and Global Awakening. And the amazing Pam Matthews, who you're going to hear from Wednesday night, is a third-year student at Global Awakening. Pam, where are you? Stand up. Just come stand up. That's the amazing Pam Matthews. Let me just brag. Go on. Let me just brag on her. Is it okay if I brag on a girl from Alabama for just a second? So Pam really took on, one of the things we do at our School of Ministry is that we activate our students in outreach, and they go out into the streets of Harrisburg and minister to everybody on the streets. Pam got a real heart for the homeless population in Harrisburg, which is huge, this huge encampment underneath one of the bridges. And so she began to lead teams of our students to go down there and minister to the homeless. And then she got a heart for the homeless population in the Kensington area in Philadelphia. Now, if you've ever seen any documentaries on the Kensington area, it is absolutely one of the worst places in America for a drugged-out homeless population, and yet Pam would take a van full of students there every week and minister to the homeless and the drugged-out there at Kensington. Now, I'm telling you, it's not a good place to be. I'm saying, unless you're on assignment from God. But this woman of God has really just turbocharged our ministry to the homeless population. So you're going to want to come Wednesday night and hear her, okay? So, Pam, I just want to say I love you. I'm proud of you. Good job, sister. In Jesus' name, give it up for her, will you? So for those of you that are not familiar with the ministry that I have now, I'm still connected to Global Awakening, but now I have a foundation called God Heals PTSD Foundation. Say, God heals PTSD. You just made a faith declaration that declares that no matter how much you've been traumatized, no matter how much you've been diagnosed with any kind of trauma disorder, that God brings healing to that. And so my mandate now for the remainder of the time that the Lord has me on the earth is to go throughout the nations to bring the message that it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to take back the whole area of trauma that we have kind of abandoned to the psychological community, who have no real answer to bring healing to trauma or PTSD. And we bring the message that Jesus suffered trauma on our behalf so that our trauma can be healed. So I've been now to 12 different countries. I've been to 37 states in this country, and I go and I train and equip churches to become trauma healing centers, that they can bring people in and pray for them and see them set free by the power of Jesus Christ. I've had the privilege to go to military bases like Fort Benning and Fort Bragg and Fort Campbell and Fort Drum and minister and train the chaplains there. I've had the privilege of going to Rwanda, going to South Africa, going to Brazil, going to Australia, going to New Zealand, going to Switzerland, and training the church there. I just returned 2 weeks ago from Odessa, Ukraine, joining with an apostolic center there that actually has one of only two treatment centers for Ukrainian soldiers who are suffering so severely with post-traumatic stress disorder that they literally have to take them off the field because they're non-functional. And had the privilege of not only ministering to those men and women, but also ministering to the psychologists that are working with them. And one of the things we discovered as we talked with these psychologists, I shared with them that I've trained over 20,000 people in this prayer model. We have over 25 to 30,000 verified testimonies of people who've been healed of all the symptoms of trauma and PTSD. And honestly, I thought being psychologists, they might just kind of say, yeah, okay, big deal, not really believe me. But they were so wide-eyed and so interested, and they honestly shared with me that we want to have what you have, because everything we're trying to do to help these soldiers is failing. Many of them are attempting suicide. Many of them leave from this treatment center, and they end up back on the field, and they die. And he said, we really want what you have. So they have given me permission. I'm going to translate all of my training materials and send it to them so that they can begin to bring healing prayer to the traumatized soldiers in Ukraine. Could somebody give thanks to God for that? Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing open door. I have a book that we sold out of them yesterday, so they're not available today, but it's called Supernatural Freedom from the Captivity of Trauma. And it actually is the entire healing trauma seminar that I teach throughout the country, and it actually has the trauma prayer in the back of it that you can pray over it yourself. And it's available either on Amazon, or you can go to my website, GodHealsPTSD.com, and you can get a copy of it. And I want to ask today, is there a military veteran in the room that would like to have a copy of this book? I only have one. Sir, over here, right here. You just raised your hand. Come to me right now. Tell you what, let me have somebody bring it to you. Nate, would you take it to that man? He's got a cane. Sir, I want to thank you for your service, to our country. I bless you in Jesus' name. So I want to say thank you for laying down your life for our freedom. Your service was not in vain because we are still free. So we bless you. As a matter of fact, if you're a veteran, military veteran, or first responder in the room, would you just stand up, police officer, firefighter, military veteran, would you stand up in the room right now? Come on, could we honor all of these amazing men and women who have faithfully served us? Come on, stand up and honor them. Stand up, people. Honor them. We give thanks to God for you. Thank you for your service to our country, to our communities. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you very much. Wow. Thank you, Lord. So, how many of you know that we live in a pretty traumatized world? Anybody feel that? Do you feel the trauma kind of raising in the world these days? I mean, you know, you practically have to take a Xanax to listen to Fox News or any other kind of news because there's just so much trauma that's happening in the world. And how many of you understand that the trauma that's in this world was never the will of God for this creation? That indeed, because our ancestors, Adam and Eve, rebelled against God and walked away, they believed the lie of the enemy that God was holding out on them, that they actually opened a door for the very enemy of our soul to come in and bring everything that makes life miserable on this earth. So whether it's war, whether it's hatred, whether it's disease, whether it's disaster, whether it's sickness, how many of you understand that no matter what the insurance companies say about what happened in Kerrville, Texas, that they would call what happened in Kerrville, Texas an act of God? How many of you know that's not an act of God? It's an act of the powers of darkness that are out to steal, kill, and destroy people's lives. That we serve a loving Father and a good God. And while we don't have the answers why some things are happen, why some things are not stopped, we know that there is healing and there is freedom from that. But the reality is that because you and I live in a very broken world, every single one of us in this room at one time or another have had something traumatic happen to us. So therefore, everybody's had some kind of trauma. Turn to somebody and say, everybody's had trauma. Everybody's had trauma. And what that helps you understand is that if you still carry unhealed trauma in your own life, you are not alone. You are not alone. You're not. You don't have to be isolated and be afraid that somehow people are not going to understand what it means to carry trauma. You know, the word trauma in the New Testament is actually the word for wound. So when you talk about trauma, we're not talking about a mental illness. We're not talking about a mental disorder. We're actually talking about carrying wounds in the soul from experiences that we have had, traumatic events, maybe childhood trauma where we were physically abused, sexually abused or emotionally abused in a way that it left deep wounds in our souls that we carry around, and actually because nobody ever told us that there was anything different, we began to believe, well, that's just what life is. I just got to toughen up. I got to get over it. I got to move on. But many times people take the traumatic experiences that they've had and they push them down. They keep pushing them down, trying to deny that they're there. But the reality is that they come out in other ways, emotionally and physically. So today, I want to take you into a very familiar passage of Scripture as we talk about God's provision for bringing healing to trauma. And as I said earlier, we're going to learn today that no matter what traumatic experience you've had in your life, that there is healing, there is freedom, and there is the peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to you today. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm 23. You know, if you're raised in church, you can probably quote it by heart by now. But we're going to read it because it brings out some interesting points about what it means to live a life here in this world that is full of all sorts of trauma. You know, David was a psalmist, but he started out as a shepherd boy. He was kind of treated like a second-class citizen by his own family because, according to many biblical scholars, many people believe that David was a kind of a second-class son, that he was an illegitimate son that was the product of a relationship between Jesse and another woman that was not the mother of the rest of Jesse's sons. We see this that when Samuel the prophet goes to the house of Jesse on an assignment from God to anoint the new king of Israel, he tells Jesse to bring out all of his sons. So he brings out all of his sons, quote-unquote. So Samuel goes down the line, and God says no to every one of them. And so Samuel turns to Jesse, and in today's language, he would say, "Dude, what's up? Somebody's missing." And he says, "Well, there's David." So when David was brought down and he was confronted by Samuel, God says, "This is the one." And as you know, Samuel anoints him as the new king of Israel. But David knew what it was like to be rejected by his family and not being treated as one of the family, kind of being a second-class citizen. He knew what it was like to experience trauma in his life. And as a matter of fact, as you read both the Psalms and as you read the history of David, I believe David presents himself as one of the most traumatized men in the entire Bible. So when he writes the 23rd Psalm, he writes the 23rd Psalm from the perspective of a shepherd who takes care of sheep. And he likens his care as the shepherd to his sheep, to the kind of care that Father God takes care of him as one of his sheep. Now, folks, let's be honest. How many of you know that God refers to us as sheep? We see it in Psalm 23. We see it in John chapter 10. But if you know anything about sheep, it may not be exactly the greatest compliment for us. Because, as you know, sheep are not exactly the most intelligent animals on the planet. There are no sheep acts in the circus. They're notoriously difficult to train. Yeah, that's right. They're notoriously difficult to train, and you have to keep a watch care over them all the time. I interviewed a shepherd in New Zealand a few years back when I was there, and I said, "Well, tell me what it's like to take care of sheep." And he says, "Well, first of all, they're the dumbest animals I've ever had to deal with. Secondly, I put them out on a pasture overlooking a cliff, and if I don't watch them, they will literally eat themselves off the cliff. They'll just go down." I saw a news article the other day about a flock of sheep that the shepherd wasn't watching out for, and literally one sheep just decided to step off the cliff, and all the other sheep followed them until the shepherd got there, and the shepherd lost like 200 sheep because they were just all following this other sheep. He said, this shepherd said, "Sheep are notorious for wandering off. They'll just kind of just wander off on their own. They won't stay with the flock, which is why our eye always has to be on them and watch them all the time." Now, you can take that as an insult from God, or you can flip it, which I like to do, and we can say, "Well, wait a minute. If God cares for me the way a shepherd takes care of sheep, therefore I know that my good shepherd's eye is always on me. He's always watching out for me. He cares for me with an everlasting love because, as Jesus says, I am one of his own and I hear his voice." You know, there's somebody, I felt this morning, there's somebody in the room today that you feel less than as a child of God because you believe that you don't hear the voice of God. Well, I want to say to you, you're listening to a lie from the devil. Because I'm telling you that if you have welcomed the work of Jesus Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior, then you do hear the voice of God. And you want me to tell you how to hear the voice of God? Every positive thing you hear about yourself is probably from God. It's not from you. All the negative stuff is from the accuser of their brethren that is out to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And he tries to keep you down. He tries to keep you depressed, oppressed, believing every negative thing about yourself. So why don't we just practice today what happens when those negative thoughts come our way? I'm going to say it, you repeat it. When I get a negative thought about myself, I'm going to say, not today, Satan. Say it with me. Not today, Satan. I'm not going to listen to that junk any longer. I'm not going to listen to that junk any longer. Because you need to understand that your Father loves you. He cares for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And his thoughts towards you are always to encourage you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, I know that's a long introduction to where we're going, but let's read Psalm 23 if we could, please. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? So I want to focus on one phrase that is in this psalm that's a beautiful thing, and that is the phrase, he restores my soul. Now, I don't know how many of you like to read different versions of the Bible. We have a lot of different translations, and we even have a lot of paraphrases. And I like, for instance, I like the Message paraphrase of the Bible because it helps bring out some things. And I know that that paraphrase was written by a biblical scholar. But many times paraphrases have a tendency to take the guts or the true meaning out of some of the words, particularly in Hebrew. And I've read a couple of paraphrases that take the word restore and they replace it with the word refresh so that it says that he refreshes my soul, like I'm taking a day at the spa where I'm going to go and get a mani and I'm going to get a pedi and I'm going to get a facial and I'm going to sit in the sauna and get a massage, and like it's just a kind of a day of refreshing. Well, I want to say to you folks, that's not what's being said here. That the reality is that the word restore in the Hebrew is the same word that Nehemiah uses in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1, when he's looking at the walls surrounding Jerusalem and he's seeing the devastation of Jerusalem after being attacked by the enemy. And Nehemiah says, I'm going to come and I'm going to restore the torn down walls of Jerusalem. It literally, the word here that David uses when he talks about he restores my soul is the word to be restored from devastation. To be restored from devastation. Now we understand that David knew what it was like to have lots of trauma in his life. As a matter of fact, in just a few chapters over in Psalm 34, beginning of verse 17, David makes this declaration. He says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. God is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Now, you know, I came to know Jesus back in the latter part of the Jesus movement in the 70s. And there were kind of two gospels that were being preached at that time. There was a wonderful gospel of salvation. However, there were some that I came into, and I came to know Jesus Christ and was greatly impacted and had an encounter where he became my Lord and Savior. But there were some gospels that would say, you know, come to Jesus and everything is going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Everything is going to be wonderful, you know. And I actually discovered that I would come to know Jesus Christ. And although I was saved and I was redeemed and I walked in the peace of God, all of a sudden sometimes things got worse before they got better. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, many people don't know that before I came to Jesus, I was a country music disc jockey. Everybody smiled. Everybody says, oh, that's where he got his voice. Yeah, I was. I worked at a country music station in the 70s when there were songs like Convoy. Anybody remember the song Convoy? You know, the Statler Brothers, Loretta Lynn, you know, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, all that. Well, there was one singer, I really loved her voice and her song, but it was a top 10 hit back then in the 70s, and her name was Lynn Anderson. Anybody remember her song? I Beg Your Pardon, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden, right? Well, let me say to you that when you come to Jesus, yes, you're saved, yes, you're redeemed, yes, you know you're going to go to heaven, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you, but let me say this to you, Jesus never promised you a rose garden. That the reality is that even walking with Jesus, many times we can go through trauma, we can go through difficulty, we can go through times of great trial and tribulation. And Jesus actually told the disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but fear not, I have overcome the world. Now, this is what the accuser brethren does to you and I. We're walking with Jesus. We're doing our best to follow him. And then something difficult happens to us. Something bad happens to our family. And automatically, the accuser will bring shame or guilt our way and say, oh, you must have done something wrong. You must have done something bad. That's why this is happening to you. God is punishing you with this traumatic event. I want to say to you, that's a lie from the powers of darkness, that the reality is that just because we walk with Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have difficult situations come our way. And actually, I work with a lot of believing Christians who love Jesus. They are filled with the Spirit. They walk in the power of God's love. But they've been traumatized by things that have happened to them in their lives. And unfortunately, they've been part of churches, thank God not a church like this, but they've been part of churches that when they've been traumatized by the things of life, when they've had lots of difficulties, they go to seek help and to get some counsel, and this is what they've been told. Well, you just need to pray more. You just need to read the Bible more. You just need to come to church more. And it's like these people have open, gaping wounds in their souls, and we're giving them little spiritual band-aids, little cute little phrases to somehow make them feel better. Well, sometimes, folks, the trauma is so deep, the trauma is so difficult, that we need more than just a little bit of a spiritual band-aid. We actually need a Holy Ghost intervention to bring healing and freedom to the wounds of our soul. Right now, I have the privilege of working with two major missionary organizations, Youth with a Mission, I don't know if you're familiar with them, and also Iris Global, which is Roland and Heidi Baker's missionary organization. And they have problems with missionaries that get traumatized. They get burned out in the mission field. And many people, again, because we have a tendency to throw really cute little phrases at people, they just say, well, you just need to be in the presence of Jesus more and let Jesus heal you. Well, many times they need an intervention to be literally set free from the trauma that they've experienced, that they get tormented by. And so I have the privilege of actually developing a curriculum with both of those organizations to help these missionaries get healed, get restored, and get back on the field again so that they can continue to serve Jesus with all of their heart. I'm going to be going at the end of this month to the Iris Global Gathering here in Tennessee, and I'm going to be ministering to a number of their mission-based operators to bring healing to their trauma. And what a privilege to be able to do that. But I want you to understand that even as David declared that he needed restoration of his soul from the trauma that he experienced in life, even though he had a relationship with God, my friend, you may be someone that's here today. that you have trauma from your childhood. You have things that happened to you in your family that nobody else knows about but you. But it still haunts you. It still plagues you. It still affects you. You know, when we talk about the soul, you need to understand something about the soul. The soul, matter of fact, go to the next slide if you would, please. Those are the words for restoration that we find throughout the Old Testament and New Testament about what it means to be restored from trauma and from the wounds of life. Next slide, please. But in our soul, there are four components, and they're significant for us to understand that our soul, by the way, how many of you know that you are a soul and you have a body? How many of you know that eventually your body's going to fail you? It's going to give in to the wreckage of old age, but your soul is eternal and will continue to remain. And in your soul, there are four components that can be affected by the trauma of our life. So first of all is your mind. What and how you think. Your memories, the things that you think about, the beliefs and values that you carry. Number two is your will, the power to make choices. How many of you understand that one of the ways that we are the most like God, that we are made in the image of God, is that you and I have the power to make a choice? That God didn't create robots, He didn't create puppets, that you and I have the ability to make choices in our lives. And one of the things that every one of us in this room have done is we've made the eternal defining choice of making Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. He didn't force us. He didn't push it on us. He just opened the door and said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we can make the choice to follow Jesus, but how many of you know that there are many people who have severe trauma who make bad choices with their life? This is the secret to many people who carry addictions. Many people who are addicted to drugs, many people who are addicted to alcohol, many people who are addicted to sex, to gambling, to pornography, they are addicted to those things, not because they just wanted to party and have fun, but literally they had so much pain in their souls that they had to find something to numb that pain. How many of you understand what I'm talking about here? See, for years, the church, unfortunately, have looked to people who have addiction problems, and we've almost been part of the accuser of the brethren. We've pointed a finger at them and said, you know, you need to believe in Jesus, but you need to clean up your act. Well, how many of you know you can't clean up your act if you're still carrying the root cause of your addiction, which is your trauma, your shattered soul? And when we make choices in our lives to do our best to get away from the pain that we've been carrying, many times those very choices carry the hook of addiction, which causes much addiction in people's lives. So the will, that is, the power to make choices, is a huge part of our soul that becomes literally impacted by the trauma that we carry. Number three are your emotions. Your emotions can be impacted by trauma, not only to carry negative emotions and walk in depression or panic or anxiety or fear, but literally there are some people that carry such horrific trauma that they feel numb on the inside. And the only thing that they feel when they have an emotion is rage or anger. I've become convinced that there's no such thing as an angry person. There's no such thing as a person that is a raging person. But angry and raging persons are simply wounded persons that need healing from the trauma of their lives. Could I have an agreement in the room, anybody? The fourth, of course, part of this is your identity. And your identity is literally who you are. As I was at the McKissick's gathering last night, I had a message for those that were gathered there. And the question I gave was, what is it that defines you? Who defines you? If you allow your history, if you allow the way people have treated you, if you allow your family to define who you are, if you even allow your own behavior to define who you are, then you're not getting your identity from the right source. You see, you need to understand that you were created by God for a divine purpose in the earth, that God has always had a dream for your life, and you would not be on this earth if it were not for the purpose of God. There is no such thing as an accidental birth in God's kingdom. Could I have an agreement in the room, anybody? You may have been a surprise to your mommy and daddy, everybody smile, but you're no surprise to God. That indeed, the fact that you're still living life on this earth, the fact that you're on this side of the soil, the fact that you're still sucking in oxygen, means that the dream of God is still available for you right now today. And no matter how old you are, your best days of living for Jesus can still be ahead of you if you're willing to allow him to come and set you free from all of the lies, from all of the lids, and all of the labels that the enemy has been pouring out over you, and you step into the freedom of what it means to be truly a beloved child of God. Could I have an agreement in the room, anybody? Turn with me to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 is such a key scripture for our ministry because it is a description of the ministry of Jesus, the Messiah. This is a prophecy that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah years before that declares what the ministry of Messiah Jesus would bring. And it says this, beginning at verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to the afflicted, and to the traumatized. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to declare liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to declare the favorable year of the Lord, that is, the year of Jubilee, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn in Zion, giving to them a garland or a crown of beauty for a head full of ashes, the oil of joy and gladness for sorrow and mourning, the garment or the mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness, fainting, and despair, that they would no longer be called the poor, the afflicted, the broken, but instead they would be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Come on, that's the ministry of Jesus. We know that because in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, Jesus came in to his home synagogue after being baptized in the Jordan, after being empowered by the Spirit, after being in the wilderness for 40 days. He goes into his home synagogue and he reads this scripture in the midst of his home people. And when he sits down, he makes this declaration, "This scripture is now fulfilled in your hearing." And basically what he is saying, by my presence, Isaiah 61 is fulfilled. Now here is the amazing thing about this passage of scripture. It says that Jesus came to bring good news to those who need it the most, the poor, the afflicted, the traumatized, and the victimized. But the very next phrase it says, he came to heal the brokenhearted. That the very first sign and wonder of the presence of the good news of the kingdom of God is that God came to heal the brokenhearted. The term brokenhearted in the Hebrew literally means to have a shattered soul. That is, things that have happened in your life that have shattered your soul in such a way that your mind, your will, your emotions, and even your identity are affected by the things that have happened to you. I shared yesterday in the seminar that I like to think of the soul many times as a mirror. And when we go to try to find out who we are, we look in the mirror, and I guarantee all of you looked in the mirror this morning and made sure your hair was looking good and there was nothing hanging out of your nose from sleeping, so you looked decent when you walked in here today. When you look in the mirror, you see a representation of who you are. What trauma does, what traumatic events do that impact us, is it shatters that mirror so that when we go to look at who we are in our soul, we don't see ourselves according to the dream or the purpose of God for our lives, but instead we see ourselves by the trauma that's happened to us. That's why I ask the question, what is it and who is it that defines you? Are you defined by the way your parents treated you? How does that work then if one of your parents, like your father, was abusive and beat you? How does that work when you had a mother who said to you that you were worthless, that you were stupid, that you were no good? Do you understand that those things spoken by our parents are like lids? They're like curses that are placed over us. And whether you realize it or not, you carry those things into your life, that they affect you in ways that you're not even aware of. What happens if you're faithful, as many of our military veterans in this room, you were faithful to sign up and go into the military, and you were placed in combat situations where you had to do some things that you never dreamed you would ever have to do. And you begin to carry guilt for the things that you've done. You may carry shame for some of the things that happened to you or that you experienced. How does that affect you in terms of what defines you? You see, my friend, when we look to anybody other than God to define who we are, then we're living in the deception of allowing the things that have happened to us in our lives, to allow the things that we have chosen, the bad choices that we've made, to define us in a way that actually bring a shattering to our soul, and we don't walk out the fullness of the supernatural dream of God. But listen to me. What Isaiah 61 declares is this: Jesus came, and he came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free, to shatter the chains of bondage that come with trauma. And here's what's even better. Not only do the captives get set free, but even those who made bad choices and they find themselves in jail cells of addictions, jail cells of circumstances that keep them bound up, Jesus says, I've also come to declare freedom to the prisoners. So whether you are held captive or whether you are held prisoner, Jesus has come to declare freedom, liberty, and healing to you by the power of his blood. Could I have an agreement in the room, anybody? You see, I just have to say this again. For too long, in many churches, and I have to say, even as a pastor myself, when somebody would come to church and they would talk about their trauma, I would say, well, let's move you over to a counselor. Let's find a psychologist or a psychiatrist to help you. And I'm, by the way, I'm not against the ministry of psychiatrists or psychologists who are Christian, who are spirit-filled, who use the Word of God to treat people. You have your own pastor here who is an amazing counselor and therapist. Could you give it up for Pastor Mickey and her incredible ministry? I give thanks to God for amazing women like her. But understand something, that many times in the church, we've not realized that the reality of who we are as the Church of Jesus Christ, that the Church of Jesus Christ is the only organization on the planet Earth that has the goods, that has the power, that has the authority to address the trauma of people's life and actually break the chains of trauma to set the captives and prisoners free in Jesus' name. We're it. You can't look to the government. You can't look to other social organizations. The only thing that brings healing, that brings freedom, that brings life to people is the power of the blood of Jesus applied through the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. I want to show you a video, and by the way, I know I showed video 8, but I want to show video 3 this morning. I guess it's going to get afternoon here a little bit. I'm on Eastern Coast time. I'm sorry. Forgive me. This is the testimony of a man that I prayed for at Bethel Church in Redding, California. This is the second man that I ever prayed for with post-traumatic stress. And Dr. Randy Clark was interviewing him. I had the privilege of praying for this man who had come forward because he was suffering with severe chronic nerve pain, and he wanted healing from that chronic nerve pain. But what he didn't understand was that the trauma that he had experienced as a military veteran serving our country faithfully was actually the root cause of that chronic nerve pain. So in this video, Randy is going to tell the story of the first man that I prayed for who got healed of trauma, and then he's going to let Adrian tell his story about how God met him in bringing healing and freedom to his trauma. So let's show that video right now.
Hey, how you doing? Let me tell you first about what happened a few weeks ago, and then what happened, and I'll let Adrian tell about last night. How many veterans of the wars in the Middle East do we have in our presence tonight? If you've served in Iraq or Afghanistan, somewhere in the Middle East, would you just lift your hand? If we have any. You know, this war, like all wars, has casualties. Sometimes it's more than shrapnel. And one of the huge things that we're facing as a country is so many veterans coming back with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And several weeks ago, a young man came up to us in Illinois at a large vineyard, and he told me, "You got to pray for me. Ever since I came back from Iraq, I've had night sweats, and I've had terrible dreams, and I've been tormented every night, and my life has been miserable, and it's so bad, his wife is going to have surgery as well." And so Mike, our director of our school, he was with me. I said, "Mike, pray." And as he began to pray, something happened to this man named Ron, who was a veteran. And the next day, he met us and said, "I had no night terrors, no night sweats. I have been at peace, and my wife was healed, and she was facing back surgery in her lumbar area. She got healed at the same time." This is now weeks later. We're still getting emails from him, and not only that, but he has had such a healing, not one problem since then, that he is praying for all the veterans in the church that they too would be healed of the PTSD. So was it last night you came up?
Monday night,
Adrian here came up, I believe it was right there, or somewhere right in there, and I knelt down and I asked, "What do you need?" And he told me. So you take it from there and tell us what's happened.
Well, Monday night when Mr. Clark was handing out the books, he had handed out a book on identity. And that's why I had to get to him. And I knew I could went to the bookstore and get it, but something kept telling me, "No, you need to go ask Randy Clark what the title of that book was. And you need to ask him specifically." And I was like, no, I'm just going to go to the bookstore. But anyway, I made my way up here. The crowds parted like the Red Sea because I didn't know how I was getting here. And I asked him the title of the book, and he told me, and he said, "Well, why do you need it?" I said, "I lost my identity quite a few wars ago, and I was trying to find myself." And he said, "You don't need that book. Let me call up a team member to pray for you." But what was even better was that I'm speaking on your behalf, but I feel that he sensed that if he left me to wait for the team member, I was bolting for the door. Because I was scared. I was terrified. I was getting surrounded by the crowds. I was nervous. I wanted to get out of here. I was looking for a threat. But he didn't let me go. He took his mic off and he sat with me. Can't thank you enough for doing that for me. Before I go on, there is freedom in Jesus. I didn't come here to get prayer for PTSD. I've come here because I've been living with chronic nerve pain in my arms and legs for the last five plus years now, until tonight. And I met a couple in Lubbock, Texas. not where I'm from, but where I retired to, that was from associated with Bethel, and they prayed for me, and that was the first time I ever experienced real prayer. That's where my breakthrough started, was April of 2011. By September of 2011, I came to visit the healing rooms. I was in a lot of pain. I just looked at my medicine records a few days ago. I had 6 or 7 sheets of medicine with about 15 to 20 meds per sheet that I've been on in the last 5-plus years. Long story short, I was seeing breakthrough, and it was coming, but it was slow. It didn't happen overnight. Sometimes it would go away, and it would come back. So I'm thinking, why do I have to deal with this PTSD? I came here for my nerve pain. God, what is going on? I want this pain out of my body, because it's like cutting yourself with razor blades, having acid poured on your skin and your bones crushed 24/7. You can't breathe. I couldn't play with my kids. I couldn't be with my wife. I lost my love of music because the sound and the vibration was so intense. I have to sit at the back of the church or by the exit. I couldn't stand bright lights. So my senses kind of got dulled. All that's gone. And
so when Mike came and prayed for you, did what happened?
Mike came and prayed for me, and he held onto my wrist. And I started to panic because I did not want to be restrained. I think I could take Mike. He's a big guy, but I think I could take him, even in my weakened state. But what Mike did for me and what Jesus did through Mike to me was he made me look at his eyes, and he wouldn't let me put my head down. And I kept wanting to put my head down because I didn't realize the guilt and the shame I was carrying from the horrific and horrible events that I cannot even put into words, nor do I want to, because I don't see those images anymore and I don't feel that pain. On the 10th of January, I went to my doctor with my wife. You know, I've been about 100 different doctors and specialists for my nerves and the PTSD, and I asked them, I said, does PTSD ever go away? You know, can it be cured? Is there medicine? What's the answer? Because, you know, I'm always thinking about taking my life. I'm always, and everything's intense for me and my family. And they said, no, you don't ever lose PTSD. Well, the devil is a lie, and so is that doctor.
Amen.
Amen. So Monday night, I got prayer from Mike, and as he was praying for me, I was crying. I was sweating, and I kept putting my head down. He said, look at my face. I said, don't tell me what to do. And he's like, I'm not letting you go until you look at me. And so he just kind of walked me through the stages, and I can't even tell you what all of them were. But it was a short prayer. It was only 5 minutes. It wasn't nothing deep, but it was like Jesus was touching my hand and he was speaking to me. And I felt a peace that I haven't felt since I was probably a young child. And I walked in the door of my house Monday night, and I kind of floated in the house, I guess. And my wife said to me, she said, babe, what happened? I said, I'm free. I'm free.
Let's stand and praise the Lord for Dave and freedom.
So happy for you. And you couldn't have normally got up in front of this many people and stood in the light, could you? Amen. You are free. Yeah. Yeah.
My wife told me, she said, Dave, it looks like you've lost 2,000 pounds off your shoulders, and I don't know who you are, because she's only lived with me since I've had this PTSD. She's lived through the nightmares. She's lived through being attacked in my sleep. She's lived in fear. My kids have dealt with it. She's lived through all the medication. But since then, in the last 2 days, I've played with my kids. I've held them. I've hugged them. I haven't been afraid of what's on TV, what's outside. And even better, before I came here tonight, I just got to say this. I was still having the pain in my wrist, but I said, God, you've been so good. You've already brought me through. You got me out of bed. You got me out of the wheelchair. You got me off all these medications and narcotics. And tonight, when I go there, it's going to be done. And I don't need prayer, because I'm just going there to glorify what you did for me. As I was sitting in the lobby over there at 6:05, I was sitting there waiting for them to open the doors. And all of a sudden, I felt my left hand, and I looked down, and I was like, hand, you're back.
And nobody prayed for me. There was no worship going on. I got on the phone and I called my wife and I said, thank you, Jesus. Not only am I at peace, I have no more pain. I can touch my hands. I can clap my hands. I can feel my fingers. I can dance. And the music didn't hurt me. The legs don't hurt me. The devil's alive. Jesus came to me. Father God is so great. He brought me home. My Father in heaven, thank you for bringing me home and rescuing me and giving me back my freedom. You too can have it in a minute. Yes.
So, come on. Give thanks to God, will you? So since the recording of that video, Adrian and his wife have had two more children. They moved from California to Colorado. And a couple of years ago, I stayed in touch with him every once in a while, but he sent me an email with an image in it. And when I opened the image, it was of ministerial credentials. I always used to say when I'd show this video, I would say, get free of PTSD, become a preacher, right? So, however, I opened up the image. And it was his ministerial credentials where he had been ordained to be a police chaplain. So now he serves his local community in Colorado as a police chaplain. Isn't that amazing? I call that restoration in Jesus' name. Go to the next slide, if you would, please. Next slide. So in Japanese art culture, they have this amazing process called kintsugi or kintsugi. And when a piece of pottery is broken, you have to realize that Japanese art culture, they consider every piece of art to be a sacred expression of the artist's soul. So when a piece of pottery is broken, they just don't throw it away and make a new one because it's not a throwaway culture. Instead, they take the pieces and they put them back together with gold or silver lacquer so that when the process is complete, the original design, the original dream of the creator is restored. And now that piece of art is more beautiful and more valuable for having been broken. Next slide, please. This is what the Lord wants to do for your shattered soul. No matter how traumatized, no matter how abused, no matter how forsaken and abandoned you may feel, I want to let you know that there is freedom, there is healing, and there's a complete restoration of your soul. Just like David said, of his good shepherd, he restores my soul. So I'm thankful that Pastor Eddie and Pastor Mickey want to make Grace House a center for trauma healing prayer. And all of these people that are part of your congregation are going to be part of a ministry that's going to raise up to bring healing to the trauma of people, not just military veterans, although they're very important to get them healed, not just first responders, but to anybody who's known childhood trauma, anybody who's been in car accidents, anybody who just carries the wounds of life and war that they carry, to bring the message that there is healing, there is hope, and there is freedom in Jesus' name. So I'm going to invite you right now as I close our time together to take your right hand and place it right here. And as the people in my seminar found out about me, that when I pray, I like to pray with my eyes open, and I'd like for you to have your eyes open as I pray for you. I know it's a little tough. We're in that big tradition of closing our eyes and bowing our heads. But I want you to keep your heads up and your eyes open. So Holy Spirit, I just thank you right now for the work of healing that you're bringing right now across this entire body. I thank you for the angels of healing that have come into this room during worship today, and they're touching many people here. Holy Spirit, I thank you that every person in this room that has known Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is completely forgiven by God. And Lord, as they release people who hurt them, wounded them, or abandoned them, that there's coming a release as they forgive, that they'll walk in complete forgiveness, not only of those who have hurt them or wounded them, but as they forgive themselves for their self-critical judgments, and their self-hatred. In Jesus' name, we just declare freedom from all of the lies of the spirit of trauma, the spirit of fear, the spirit of torment, and the spirit of suicide in Jesus' name. I speak to every person in this room who struggles with thoughts of suicide, and I declare to you right now, you've not had a suicidal thought that was your own, but it's a demonic spirit of suicide that is out to steal, kill, and destroy the dream of God for your life. So we sever and cancel every one of those demonic assignments against you in the name of Jesus, that you walk free from that from this day forward in the name of Jesus. Now pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, heal my wounded soul. Heal my mind. Heal my will. Heal my emotions. And restore my identity back to your original dream for me. I renounce and I reject trauma as the story of my life. Holy Spirit, come in my body that has been occupied by trauma. Fill me with your love, your joy, your peace, and your power. Restore my soul back to your original dream for me. I believe that as I allow you to heal me, that I will live the best days of the dream that you have for my life in the days ahead. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing and your restoring power. I'm free of trauma in the name of Jesus. Now give thanks to God, will you? All across this room, just give thanks to God. Pastor Eddie, would you come?
Wow, our worship team is coming. If you would, please stand. I believe the Lord's just done some powerful, powerful work in so many of our lives in this room. There may be other areas that you feel like you need some prayer this morning. You would like someone to lay hands on you, to agree with you. We're gonna have our prayer team members come forward at this time. They're going to be here in the altar area. We believe in the power of prayer. We're to pray for one another that we may be healed. Perhaps you're here and this might be the first time you've been in a service like this. And it may be that you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What a wonderful moment for you to take that step that will change everything. He died on the cross, was buried, and God raised him from the dead on the third day. And the scripture says, if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you would be saved. And oh my, how we would welcome the opportunity to pray with you about that, seal that in prayer with you. And perhaps as Dr. Mike was leading us in this prayer, something began happening in you, and you're just sensing, you know, I want someone to agree with me in prayer. We invite you to come. We just want to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit, what He may be doing in you right now, or what you may be about to allow Him to do as you open your heart. Because by your coming forward, that step of faith, it's amazing what begins to happen. When you take one step toward the Lord, He'll sweep across the heavens to meet you. So I encourage you to come if you have need of prayer. And also, I'll be releasing you in just a moment. We want to bless this man of God for being with us this morning. I shared that with you earlier. Don't forget that as you leave. There will be people with offering baskets, and you can give your gift. Now, before we extend this invitation for you to come, would you join with me one more time? And could we just thank the Lord that Dr. Mike came all the way from Pennsylvania, I think through, was it Oklahoma or somewhere? Oklahoma to here, and then he's going back to Illinois. And then, so the Lord's got this man on the move.
And we want to bless him for stopping by in Alabama, don't we? Amen. Love you, brother. Pastor Doc, would you come? I want to welcome our granddaddy pastor. He's going to pray the closing prayer. And then the music will continue. And please, everybody, respect what's going to happen and honor what God's doing in the altar area. They're going to be praying up here. But you feel free to fellowship. And there may be someone around you you may have a word of encouragement or something. Yes, all that's on the table for you to do. But we want a blessing prayed over us before we go, and we love our Pastor Doc.
Lord, we struggle for words about what we've heard this morning. But we do believe heaven brought us a word of help, hope, and healing. Thank you for the power of deliverance. Thank you that the Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We decree over all of us, he's not a one Jesus, he's a now Jesus. So Lord, thank you for what we've heard. Thank you for Dr. Mike. And to all of you, we decree and declare, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his incredible peace. And everybody said amen. God bless you.
Brother James, would you come up? I think Dr. Mike said he knew you, and I wanted to make sure he gets to meet you. Thank you for being here today. This altar's open.